back to the Hagman Report on this, the 18th day of August 2017, 17 days post Las Vegas. Just want to mention that as we're discussing that and other topics with our guest, Ginger McQueen. Ginger McQueen has got a marvelous presence on social networking and Twitter. Follow her. In fact, I do. And I love her. I love her tweets, man. I just what an experience. Just follow her on Twitter. That is Ginger McQueen. There she is. If you're watching this live on YouTube, there's her Twitter feed right there. And I know Ginger cannot see what's on what we're pumping out here, but there it is. Again, I just love reading her tweets. It's great, and that's where she hangs out. And of course, she's got a website, gingermcqueen.com. That's gingermcqueen.com. By the way, before we get back to Ginger, I want to mention this generation series of novels. If you haven't read those books, you've got to get them. T.C. Joseph has done a great job. This generation series of novels: first book, Precipice; second book, Pentecost; third, Penance. It is just a tremendous series. If you're looking for fact-based fiction, something to give to perhaps skeptical friends, relatives, about the existence of divine power and a divine reason for the way things are going right now, this is a series to get. Precipice, Pentecost, and Penance, written by our good friend T.C. Joseph. This generation series, go to Amazon or go to the website of this generation series. T.C. Joseph. Joe?
We're talking with Ginger McQueen, and we're talking about the inconsistency surrounding the Las Vegas shooting. And before the break, one of the things Ginger brought up was a video shot inside of the Bellagio reporting that there was an active shooter inside the Bellagio or in the lobby of the Bellagio. Ginger, what did you take away from that video that the lady made with her husband? Some people were arguing that because there were shooting victims that ended up spilling out all throughout the strip, that they made their way outside of these different areas, causing people to call and say that they were gunshot victims or gunshots at these locations. The police on the scanner feed themselves were getting calls just about from every hotel saying that there was active shooters. After clearing each one by one, they started to talk about the fact that there could be distraction calls being made.
Yep.
What do you think happened here?
It's hard to say, but after watching her video, it was pretty compelling, and the story that she tells is very compelling. You can't rely on a police scanner, because especially during some mass event, you're going to have them just relaying information, and a lot of that information could be incorrect. But if anyone hasn't watched the video, I'd encourage you to, because I did not entertain the idea of there even being a second shooter until I watched that. And I can't say yes or no, just because we don't have any true stories coming out of official sources. So is it possible? Absolutely, it's possible. I think that we can't discount anything. You kind of have to weigh each piece of or each theory individually and sort of see what works for you or what makes the most sense in your mind, because we're not going to get any kind of resolution on this. And disregarding information is probably not the best route. So we have to take these things into consideration.
Okay. And we do, especially with all the other calls, basically corroborating what the lady in the Bellagio recorded.
It's so bizarre. This whole thing is so bizarre. I mean, we've fallen down this rabbit hole. I'm not sure we can get out of it again.
No, we're stuck. No.
But okay, I got to ask you this, if we can just switch topics. Can we do that, Joe?
Let's do it.
All right. I got to ask you, because on your website, okay, folks, this is the greatest video snippet. I'm telling you, you got to go to Ginger's website, gingermcqueen.com. You have, help me out to explain what this is. You could probably do a better job of explaining what I watched today in the cell phone snippets or the iPhone snippets of you crashed an event and the police came and oh my goodness, you got yourself in, well, you really didn't get in trouble, but it was just, what did I watch there? What happened? What's the backstory to that?
Well, I went to an ACLU meeting because I had a pop-up ad on my computer that said they were having a meeting of the Indivisible Project, and there was one close to me, and they were going to give information on basically how to stop Trump.
Right.
And I thought, you know, this would be a great thing to write about because I was writing for a website at the time. So I went, and I wound up listening to just this barrage of misinformation. Everything that they were saying was a complete lie. And they went into healthcare. They were talking about how, you know, everyone's going to lose their healthcare. And this is a done deal. Well, it's still not a done deal. And we're months, you know, past this, but it was unreal. The information that was being given to these people, and it was a large grouping. And I think that this is a group, this indivisible, that people are underestimating at this point. The left, they're mobilized, they're organized, and we like to be in our sheltered little social media groups and disregard that other end of the spectrum. But that other end of the spectrum is pretty radical, and there's a lot of them. And they're going to show up at the ballot box. So we need to be prepared for that and make sure that we are there too. Even in midterm elections that a lot of people choose not to participate in, it's going to be very important that we do this. Back to the story. So I go in, they're completely lying to everyone, and they had a question and answer session. I raised my hand, they called on me, and I stood up and told them to think for themselves that everything that they were being told was a lie, and it didn't go over so well. People started circling me. They were demanding to know my name, and I told them. They said it sounded like a fake name, which it does, but it's not. That's really my name. And they're pulling up my social media. They're, you know, pointing at me and showing me their phones, and it was so crazy. Demanding to know what group I was with. I'm like, I'm not with a group. What are you talking about? So the guy said that the police had been called, and I was like, I don't care, whatever. I'm in a public library. I can do what I want. So, you know, if this was some, like, at somebody's house, it would be different, but it was being held at a public library, you know, taxpayer-funded public library. I have an issue with this. So, and I was very polite. I wasn't rude to anyone, and I think you can see my demeanor in the videos. So I walk out, and as I'm walking out, a cop approached me, and he asked what happened, and I told him. He kind of laughed at me and was like, go.
Yeah, you actually surrendered. I love that. You know, I think you said something like, I'm the cause of the trouble, or something like that, or I'm the troublemaker. I thought that was just great. And the reaction was priceless by that police officer. So, and that's great. Now, was that... because you had received some publicity. I think you were on with you were on Fox, right? Was that from that, or?
Yeah, I was on Fox and Friends because of it.
Okay, all right. Yeah, that was a great interview, by the way, and certainly a great. Now, are you still crashing parties like that, or?
No. That was the only time I've ever done anything like that. I try to behave, and I really don't want the police to be called on me again. Once was enough.
Well, one thing you said, though, and I have to agree with this, is that I think a lot of people are underestimating the progressive left, the organization. Man, they are organized. They're mobilized. And a lot of people, I just see a lot of... I just see a lot of people underestimating what they can do. And now, look, we've got about a half a dozen investigators, and I say this openly, who have infiltrated and are infiltrating in the process of and have various groups such as Indivisible, Antifa, all across the country. Well, at least half a dozen places across the country. And we're finding that they're making plans to, cause violence. I mean, openly talking about violence and ultimately overthrowing the government, but specifically Donald Trump. The way that people are underestimating these groups to me is, I think that's a mistake. I really do. And you saw it. So you saw it firsthand, I guess.
Well, and even in the small town that I live in, I'm in DeKalb, Illinois, which, you know, is an hour west of Chicago. And our representative is Adam Kinzinger, which I am no fan of Adam Kinzinger. But they had a meeting, a public meeting or protest here, and I was like, well, maybe I should just drop by and see what these folks are doing. And I didn't cause a stink there, but I went around with my cell phone and recorded what they were doing. And there were quite a few people. It was a weekday afternoon at like 2 o'clock, and there were a lot of women, a lot of older folks, and they had built an effigy of Adam Kinzinger in the town square. And I'm like, this is really scary. This is not normal behavior. So I started talking to a guy. I was like, hey, what are you guys doing here? And, you know, asking questions. And I was like, why do you have that? That's really creepy, isn't it? And he said, well, he won't do any town halls and he won't listen to us, so we don't know where he is, so we brought him here.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Wow.
Almost like a scarecrow. Like, they had a face and they had a suit and something stuffing it. And, you know, these people are sick and there is no telling what they will do. And like you said, they've been encouraged to be violent. They've been encouraged to be politically active. And we know that, you know, just like with Antifa and the way that they have their violence, they've got, you know, their green and orange and red and the black block and the way that they are have their formations and one falls back when the other goes forward. They're doing the same thing politically. This isn't just a physical strategy. It's an election strategy as well. It's a political strategy. So we need to be very mindful of that radical left. And you think that they aren't there. You may think that you live in a very red district. I live in a very red district, but they're out there, and I've gone to local meetings of Republicans. They're paying absolutely no attention and completely disregarding them. And I tried to tell them, I said, these are going to be the guys that take you by surprise at the ballot box. No, not here. Just you wait. And they weren't expecting a larger voter turnout for 2018, which I thought was very interesting as well. So Republicans need to wake up.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, Jack Posobiec is starting. Joe, what was the name of the group? Rev 18?
Rev 18, yeah.
Yeah.
For the midterm elections.
Right.
And to organize a super PAC with Mike Cernovich on which establishment Republicans they want to remove from office versus the new guys on the block who they think are going to make the most change in those positions.
But a byproduct of that is also coalescing the right to come out in numbers. So that's a good thing. But I like that the way you kind of have taken the temperature of events around you and are reporting that. And you can follow Ginger McQueen, our guest, on Twitter at Ginger McQueen. Very simple. And hey, follow her on Twitter. What about the Uranium One deal? If we could just talk a little bit more about that. You mentioned it. We mentioned it briefly. We've known about this for 5 years. Peter Schweizer wrote about it in Clinton Cash. We've talked about this for years now. Now this has been verified. Do you think anything is going to come of this at all? Any grand jury, any special prosecutor, independent prosecutor or counsel?
Several things would need to happen in order for there to be any kind of justice. We would need for Mueller and Rosenstein and Andrew McCabe and everyone involved in the whole Russia investigation into Trump. They would have to step down. I don't know what we would do with Jeff Sessions. He's recused himself from all of this. That's a very dysfunctional family right now. And the problem is that all of the people who are actively involved in this investigation into Trump were originally involved in the cover-up of Hillary's Uranium One. Or the, you know, the approval of the sale of Uranium One, I should say. They knew back in 2009. You know, Mueller was the director of the FBI. He, from WikiLeaks, we know he took 10 grams of uranium to Russia. That was in WikiLeaks. And
That's why? True.
For what? We know that they knew about it. They sat on it, allowed Uranium One to be sold, and they've allowed Russia to, start selling uranium that is new, that's not, repurposed from the old Soviet weapons. They've allowed all of these things. They didn't notify Congress or any regulatory agencies when this sale was being proposed. They sat on it, and during that time that they sat on it, they kept getting promotions. Explain that.
Yeah, it's to me that there's more than self-enrichment at play here. I believe that there's something deeper, some collective ideology behind the group of people that you'd referenced, and I believe it's my personal opinion is this. Dare I say it, a communist think, and that's the advancement of the Soviet, the ideology of the old Soviet Union ideology, the communist ideology, in addition to self-enrichment. I think that, of course, is a big part of it, but I think there's more to it, and I would liken the Clintons to the Rosenbergs at this point, given the uranium and the national security devastation that this has caused. I just don't know. I mean, dysfunctional. You said dysfunctional. I agree, because that's where this is at. Anything that you think can this get any worse with respect to the maybe I should say it differently. What would it take? Would it take an entire gutting of our Justice Department to advance some prosecution or investigation of this? I mean, the investigation's done. It just needs to be really prosecuted. I mean, how, though?
I think we're in uncharted waters here. There's no legal precedent for any of this. We've never had this kind of corruption at this kind of level come to the forefront with, like someone in a position like Jeff Sessions, who's recused himself and said, hey, I'm out of it. Who's in charge? Who's running the show? Where's the ringmaster? How deep does this go? How many of these are Obama holdovers? Who can be impartial and not partisan in their judgments? At this point, I think our faith in the FBI, we talked about Las Vegas, we've talked about what's happening with Mueller. Mm-hmm. Our faith is shaken in our institutions, and that's an issue because it's cutting into the very foundations of the things that we believe in as a country. And we have to find a way to at least make the appearance of some kind of justice being brought. But then, when we do that, this country is divided in half. And I posed the question last night on Twitter, and I got so many comments and likes on it, is can the general public, the people who are just casual consumers of news, can they understand that everything that they've been told up to this point is a lie? Can they understand that this is all deflection? And that everything they've been told about Trump was actually what Hillary's been doing. I mean, they've been fed this steady diet of lies for 2 years. So how do we convince the other half that we can't just disregard me, you, we know what happened? How do we convince the rest of the country, those people who don't have time to really dig into the issues? How do we convince them that, yes, this really is what happened, and it was all Democrats, deflecting attention from what they were doing themselves? It's like they were telling the exact story that they were guilty of, but saying that it was Trump. And that was intentional, because if it ever came out, then they could, twist the facts easier.
Exactly.
So, It's just a very ugly situation that we're in.
Yeah, on my morning show, I discussed this, and that is the Saul Alinsky 101. I mean, that's the Rules for Radicals tactic, is to project on your enemy what you're doing yourself. And that's exactly what's taking place here. Very, very interesting. And, my goodness. Which kind of, if we could segue into one final issue that seems to be dominating the headlines, as if this is new to us, the degeneracy of Hollywood.
I'm glad you brought this up.
Thanks, Joe. I mean,
20, 30 years, just this guy, Harvey Weinstein alone, has had documented run-ins.
Yeah. You know,
with countless women claiming sexual assault, sexual abuse.
And his brother, too.
And you know, the many people are referring to the casting couch atmosphere of Hollywood that's been there since the very beginning. But you asked the right question, why now? Why are we seeing this coordinated attack? And I wondered at first if Steve Bannon had something to do with it after the 60 Minutes appearance and then him talking about going after the enemies of Trump. But he also said that he was going to be focusing on the establishment GOP first. So I don't know if Bannon had any influence or not, but something, some group or this is much more coordinated than it appears to be, I think.
Yeah, what's your take, Ginger?
Well, can we go into crazy conspiracy theories here?
Let's rock.
Malia Obama was interning for Harvey Weinstein. Is it possible he hurt her? Something happened for him to lose that Democrat protection. For the New York Times to run with this Farrow article and to blow the lid off of it, something happened. This guy was too important. He held lavish fundraisers, donated millions and millions and millions of dollars, got others to donate millions of dollars. What caused him to lose his protection? Something did. But yeah, dig into it. Malia was his intern.
Why didn't I know that?
Yeah.
That scares me now. Now I feel like I'm slipping. And Ginger, thanks for pointing that out. And, you know, I think I might have. Did you send a tweet about that?
No, I try to stay out of conspiracies in my tweets. I try to stick to known facts. I might be a little bit smart alecky in them, but for the most part, I don't. But that was something that I just happened to read online, and I've seen it in several places. But that kind of falls into place for me. That makes a little bit more sense. And the issue is that they have been dictating this progressive agenda and shoving it down our throats for years now, since the beginning of Hollywood. What Hollywood says goes. They have ruined every television show with anti-Trump messages. You know, the movies, everything is being pushed on us. This progressive agenda socially is being pushed on us through this consumer culture and the media and our entertainment industry, not just movies and television, but music as well. And they're influencing us. They're influencing our children. We want to act like we're immune to it. We're not. We get out and we watch a movie and we take away things. Even if we're rejecting some of the ideas in it, it's still putting those thoughts in our heads. So it's so important that we pay attention to where we're spending our money and what we're doing, what we're promoting, and what we're supporting, because this whole thing in Hollywood was nothing but a sham. They were the ones who were pretending that they were the moral authority on everything, and this is how you should be because they said so. That's not the case. It was all a lie. And I think that some people are beginning to see that now, but that, you know, that's not going, we're not going to ask the big questions about why are we allowing them to dictate. We're going to pay attention to women being victims and being victimized, but there's a larger picture that people are just not pulling into it.
I love the way you frame that, and I think that's so important. That larger picture is extremely important to as I like to say, everything in context, and it's easily it's much better understood when it's in context. Go ahead.
Ginger, we only got about a minute and a half left. I want to ask you one last question. What are your thoughts on what's happening with the NFL?
The NFL, well, I think that they are destroying themselves, and they can continue to do that. everyone who goes up against Trump seems to come out a loser, and it just happens that this is the NFL's turn. It's a shame that these people are so stupid and so ignorant that they are protesting the flag and the anthem, which is the very two symbols of the very things that give them the right to do that. So it makes no sense that what they're choosing to protest, but if they want to continue and lose money, by all means, please.
Well, we can rest easy because Jesus Campos is, I guess he's got, a season ticket somewhere to the NFL?
So I don't know. Yeah, in 2021.
How's that for the, Las Vegas? Thanks, John. All right. Ginger McQueen has been our guest. Ginger, you've been so gracious. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm so glad to have you. Please consider coming back and visiting with us sometime soon.
Anytime. Thank you.
All right. That's Ginger McQueen, gingermcqueen.com. Visit her website. She's got a dynamic website. In fact, I just wrote down here the sub part of her website, diet, fitness, beauty, politics. And it's an array of great information. That's Ginger McQueen. Follow her on Twitter as well. Ginger McQueen on Twitter. Folks, Network Break Room, right back. Stay right where you're at.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. I mean, it is... It'll blow you away. Absolutely. Eric said...
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Caring Plus in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We're offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Armies kit. It contains 12 homeopathic armies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Armies kit at www.changeforsomewoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
is for the Hagman Report. It is Wednesday, October 18th, 2017. Paused for effect there, actually. 17 days post the Las Vegas shooting. No answers forthcoming there. We've got so much news. Of course, Hollywood is unraveling. We had talked with our previous guest, Ginger McQueen. We covered an array of issues from Las Vegas to Hollywood and everything in between. Now, what are we seeing, and including Uranium One, but at the epicenter of all this is Hillary Clinton, and at the epicenter of, when I say all of this, I'm talking about the non-coverage of things like Uranium One, even though we've been covering this for a couple of years, even though Peter Schweitzer wrote a book, Clinton Cash covered that extensively, even though Sean Hannity specifically covered the Uranium One deal. Roger Stone as well. Sarah Carter from Circa News, John Solomon from The Hill, The Daily Caller, Gateway Pundit, you name it, they've covered it. Now, Fusion GPS co-founders meeting with congressional investigators. But you know what? We're not going to talk. See, we're not going to say anything. The co-founder of a Washington opposition research firm that produced this salacious, fallacious dossier on Donald Trump. You know which dossier I'm talking about. Of course, they're going to take the Fifth, I understand. Is that right, Joe?
Yes. Fusion GPS partners plead the Fifth during House intelligence appearance. Two of the co-founders of Fusion GPS, the opposition research firm behind the infamous Trump dossier, invoked their Fifth Amendment rights during a meeting with the House Intelligence Committee on Wednesday, a person familiar with the matter told the Daily Caller. This article goes on to say that two Fusion GPS partners pleaded the Fifth to every question asked of them. The House panel earlier this month subpoenaed the two, Peter Fristich and Thomas Kattan, and their fellow partner Glenn Simpson to discuss their involvement in the dossier, which was compiled last year by former British spy Christopher Steele. In a letter to the California Representative Devin Nunez earlier this week, Fusion's attorneys suggested that the three partners, all former Wall Street Journal reporters, would refuse to cooperate with the committee, citing First Amendment protections and confidentiality agreements. So that's very interesting there. And, you know, what will we see come out of this? If they're not going to answer any questions, they are not obviously going to implicate themselves. This, of course, was 21-23-page fake dossier that right. was compiled by the MI5 intelligence agent Christopher Steele out of Britain that was used by the Hillary Clinton campaign to try to paint Trump in a bad light with talk of prostitutes and
urinating on the bed.
All kinds of weird sexual
things. Do you know that there's an implication here that that was paid for in part by Russian intelligence? Have you heard that?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Now remember going back now, I'm 3-4 years. Remember the journalists? The journalists, the group of journalists, remember that? See, Americans, many people here in the West, in America, we've got short memories, very, very short memories. But this Fusion GPS is an opposition research firm. What it is, it's a hit squad, in my view. Do I need the address for subpoenas and legal process? Service of legal process is on my website. So, you've got three journalists, or self-proclaimed journalists, or former Wall Street Journal reporters and journalists, creating this opposition research firm and selling their services to the Democratic Party, the Progressive Party, the people on the left. And of course, you have this dossier, which was all but proven to be falsified. Initially, by the way, Fusion GPS initially, how can I put this? The anti-Trump movement that pulled in Fusion GPS was initially funded by a so-called conservative or self-proclaimed conservative or Republican donor. All right. That's how it all started. And then when they dropped it, when they couldn't find anything against Donald Trump, the Democrats picked up the tab for Fusion GPS, and suddenly Fusion GPS hooked up with the British intelligence officer and came up with this Russian dossier, which was furnished by the Russians and reportedly, and I'm saying this reportedly, I don't think there's any direct evidence to support this, but there's implications that it was some of the cost of the opposition research was funded by the Russians themselves. And again, when you look at it, is it out of the realm of possibility? Certainly not. It would fit within that, within the framework that we're talking. But Fusion GPS, in my view, they've got no right. I would toss their butts in jail if hold them in contempt of Congress. Can they? What would be wrong with holding Fusion GPS in contempt of Congress for not? Since when do you go in front of Congress and say, basically, F you?
Yeah, and get away with
it. And get away with it. I guess if you're a politician, I guess if you're Lois Lerner, you can do that. I guess if you're Fusion GPS, you can do that. You and I, we'd be talking to each other through through the cell blocks.
And back to what you said earlier about the Samantha Powers,
yeah,
saying that somebody else basically used her identity for the unmasking request, or did so under her name and security clearance,
under her alleged authority.
Any sense whatsoever?
Well,
I don't see that happening, unless it came from somebody higher up than her, like the president, maybe the vice president, or the president, or maybe somebody, the head of the Secretary of State, or somebody on the cabinet. But I can't see how somebody would be able to get away with falsifying or using her identity to get those unmasking records. It just does not make sense. And now, you know, that the investigation and the House Intelligence Committees are forming, looking into this Russia stuff and the Fusion GPS, they are being met with the Democratic tactic and playbook of deny everything, say nothing. And they think they can get away with it because they can remain silent and not implicate themselves in a court of law. But much of the information is already out there, and I don't know what Congress is looking to do with Fusion GPS, but I think whether these people remain silent or not, there's enough information out there showing who was behind it and how this came to be, to where the only thing that they might have done through their testimony is help explain themselves a little bit better. But we don't know what action the Congress will take with this.
Well, here's what I don't quite understand. Who's the commander? Who's the president of the United States right now? Donald J. Trump, right?
We think.
He's the boss, right? And he's got oversight, to a degree anyway, over the Department of Justice, or at least some level of oversight. Now, I understand the separation of powers. So don't send me emails about that. But what just blows my mind is the FBI and the Department of Justice in this Trump administration, those two agencies have turned down and ignored every request since March from the House Intelligence Committee seeking information about the anti-Trump dossier. Okay, now think about that. It's just not Fusion GPS. It is the FBI and the Department of Justice. Records show that the House Intelligence Committee made 8 specific requests, including subpoenas, during that time period. Congressional investigators have met a lot of resistance by members of the FBI and DOJ. The Justice Department, Principal Deputy Director of Public Affairs, said that the materials requested by the House Intelligence Committee. Now think about this. Well, they're sensitive law enforcement documents, and we've been working with the committee to have this productive dialogue, and with an aim towards ensuring that it gets what they get, what they need, but without revealing too much of law enforcement sensitive information. Are you serious? Think about this. The House Intelligence Committee being told to pound sand by the FBI and DOJ, saying this stuff's sensitive, so we can't really turn this over to you. So my question is, how is this even possible during the Donald Trump administration? That's a rhetorical question. You don't have to feel that you have to answer, and don't throw anything at your radio or computer if you're listening to this. The reason I say that is because that shows, in my view anyway, that the shadow government is still in charge. Or if you don't want to go that far, then that shows that the Obama holdovers, holdouts, and those loyal to the Clinton-Obama machinery are still holding the reins of power and making the rules. That, to me, is untenable, and we must fix that. That's just, but can you believe that? The FBI and Justice Department are led by Donald Trump appointees. Director Christopher Wray of the FBI, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, but officials, both departments have refused to provide this information. And you've got to say, well, what's going on? It's specifically about the sources within the dossier and the who paid for it. And I'm telling you right now, I think that among the financiers of that dossier, and those are not cheap, by the way. I think if you follow the money, I think you'll find some Russian, go through the laundered, sources, I think you'll find a Russian connection there. That's just my view. But that's just, it's incredible to me that they could deny subpoenas, that they could deny, the warrants and requests 8 different times since March. And that's reported, by the way, if you want source on that, that's reported by Catherine Herridge, Fox News, and others, but that's out there.
Switching gears here, I want to talk about this story for just a few moments. There is some confusion about a report circulating that an illegal alien charged with California wildfire that killed 40 people. There was an arrest made in Sonoma County. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency issued a detainer request on a Sonoma County jail inmate, Jesus Gonzalez, who was arrested Sunday on suspicion of arson in wine country following fires that have killed at least 40 residents in the area. It looks like a number of news organizations, from Breitbart to others, have linked this illegal alien's arrest to the actual fires that had killed a number of people and destroyed countless number of buildings. But there is some pushback as to whether this man was setting a fire. It was a homeless guy, a homeless illegal alien, apparently living under a bridge. And some people are making a leap that saying that he is the actual arsonist of the fire that led to the deaths of many people. But that seems to be an inaccurate report. But either way, the California fire continues, the fire officials continues to probe the cause of the deadly wildfires. Despite the arson arrest, the sheriff of Sonoma County said that an arson suspect was seen walking away from a small fire, and he had a fire extinguisher and a lighter with him. But regardless of this one arrest, the battle of the blaze continues, and law enforcement are still wondering if there is other suspected arsonists out there that they will be able to hold responsible. And the fires have claimed over 41 lives and are responsible for the loss of more than 5,700 structures in several counties from Sonoma and Napa Valley. And I don't know how many of you guys have seen the before and after pictures.
Oh, they're incredible.
But you see, I mean, huge subdivisions with 1,000 homes before, it looked like a normal, beautiful subdivision from an aerial shot. Afterwards, the only thing left standing are parts of trees, and everything is wiped out. I saw a video from the Berkeley Fire Department Engine 6 that the actual firemen made on their first night out on the call on these fires. And as they responded, they were supposed to all meet at a staging area at a local Kmart. Well, when they went out, before they had a chance to fight any fires, not only was the Kmart engulfed in flames, but the whole town they were responding to, including all the businesses and all the homes in the subdivision, were already on fire and burnt down. And you can see and hear the firemen in that company talk about how they've never seen anything like this, and the amount of devastation was so fast with these fires. And many people have been asking, well, how is it possible that you have a picture of a car half melted into the road, but 20 feet away you have trees with still green leaves on it.
John Rappaport, and you talked to John Rappaport about this yesterday.
Yeah, we did touch on it a little bit. People have been speculating that some kind of energy weapon was used, are asking if the aerosol sprays have
changed
the condition of the atmosphere, allowing for easier burning. There's a lot of questions that people have surrounding these fires and the destruction that they have caused. And they go on to point the science behind it, how, you know, aluminum doesn't burn until 1220 degrees Fahrenheit versus what normal temperatures normal fires burn at. And I mean, it's just amazing the amount of devastation there. But there are a lot of questions that are unanswered about the California wildfires. From everything we see, it seems like they have these fires pretty well contained. They haven't been, you know, too much in the news, but these are still going down as the worst wildfires in California history, and that's a pretty big deal.
Exactly, and it's something that we need to keep our eyes on. I do believe, just based on everything I've seen, that a number of these fires were deliberately set, were arson, of course, in addition to whatever else might be taking place, but the arson is an issue as well. I'm going to mention something that perhaps people here in America haven't heard about, and I think you need to hear about this because this is our future. Now, you want socialized medicine. Everyone seems to want socialized medicine. I'm telling you, that's the Bernie Sanders kind of, anyone who voted for Bernie Sanders or one's follower of Bernie Sanders, in my view, is in that socialized medicine camp. Same with Hillary Clinton, and of course Barack Obama. But think about this. You want to see what socialized medicine brings you? The NHS, Great Britain, UK, that is, now they're saying, well, here's what we need to do. If you need surgery, however, if you are a smoker or if you are overweight, we're going to put you on the back end of the list. In fact, we're not going to operate on you. The NHS of the UK will ban patients from surgery indefinitely. Unless they lose weight or quit smoking. And if you're smoking, you have to take some sort of breath test after 8 weeks. You have to be a non-smoker for 8 weeks, and you've got to lose weight. This is America's future. This is what socialized medicine brings you. Now, it's not that I agree with being overweight or I agree with smoking. That's not even the issue. The issue is the restrictions themselves and who makes these calls. They're the most extreme yet. Now, this is proposed. It's not taken place, but the vice president in charge of the NHS, I believe it is, or the members over in the UK have said we need to rethink, an urgent rethink is what was the phrase they use, of our policies, but you talk about discrimination. So what's the takeaway from this? So what's the next step going to be? Will it be, well, if you're black or if you're white or if you're, if you're a Christian.
That's possible.
This is bad enough. I guess we don't have to go into hypotheticals. This, I believe, is bad enough. But the new rules drawn up by clinical commissioning groups in the UK say that obese patients, for example, will not get non-urgent surgery until they reduce their weight at all, unless the circumstances are exceptional. And the criteria will also mean that smokers, by the way, will only be referred for operations if they stop smoking for 2 months or 8 weeks, I believe it is. And then you've got to be tested for that. But just
what about alcohol or marijuana?
That's coming.
Or cholesterol? Yeah. Or
exactly.
Where does it be? The count of sugar in your blood, we could literally wind up in a scenario where they regulate anybody out of the ability to have surgery. If your blood pressure is not within a certain, obviously the blood pressure has to be within a certain range to do surgery because it'd be unsafe if it's too high or too low. But what if they continue to, shorten that gap of what it can be? I mean, the possibilities are endless here. And
well, the fact is, you've got the government making those decisions, not the doctors.
Yeah.
The government, if you want socialized medicine, this is your future. This is what you will get. And you might say, well, I don't smoke and I'm not overweight. Well, great. Good for you. But I'll tell you, a restriction will be put in place, perhaps. And I sense this would be the case. That will affect you. But regardless, if it doesn't affect you, that's like saying, well, I don't have to worry about the government tapping my phone or watching my every move because I don't do anything wrong. That's not the point. Wow.
Right.
But you're looking at the future of this country. And I'm going to tell you right now, you're talking about the overtaking of one-sixth of our economy, one-fifth of our economy, essentially, along with everything else with respect to Obamacare. The objective here with Obamacare, and if the Republicans don't get smart, they're going to own the mess, they inherit the mess that Obama created, and the Democrats, Pelosi created, and others, what they created, this socialized platform, and we're going to end up with a single-payer system, and it's going to become fully socialized here in America, and you're going to have the government making the health decisions for you, and forcing vaccinations upon you, and making these restrictive-type rules. So, be careful what you wish for. And I know there are some Christians out there who, and conservatives even, who want to see socialized medicine, who believe that social, and believe in socialized medicine. That medical care is a right. Show me in the Constitution where it's a right. I don't know. Maybe I missed it in civics class, but I don't see it. But I do know that it's already happening in certain areas, happening here. In certain geographical areas where some smokers are put to the back of the list, especially for heart operations, and I understand that. I fully understand that. I don't agree with it because you've got the government, not the doctors, making those decisions, or insurance carriers, and not the doctors making those decisions. So, I wanted to point that out before we got too far into it.
All right, we have a few minutes left of this segment. Want to focus your attention here on a story on HagmanReport.com. Project Veritas videos continue to expose New York Times liberal bias. With the release of the third in a series of Project Veritas American Pravda videos exposing the New York Times, the newspaper of record may soon find itself in very real trouble. And while the Times may not be in immediate danger of dying from that exposure, the damage would be hard to simply shake off. Each video so far has been damning when taken alone. When seen together, the damage to what is left of the Times' credibility is compounded to the point of a catastrophe. The first two videos, which together have over 620,000 views on YouTube, even though they were just released last week, started the process of exposing the flagship of liberal media in much the same way that previous Project Veritas videos exposed CNN. As the rollout continues, one has to wonder how much exposure the New York Times can take. The latest video shows a New York Times editor. His name is Nick Dudich, a Times audience strategy editor, and he admitted that he manipulates the news to fit his anti-Trump agenda. He described himself as a gatekeeper. It is seen on an undercover video saying, my voice is on, my imprint is on every video we do, and that objectivity plays no part in that process, in response to a point about being objective. And then he says, no, that's not why I'm here. So he was being joking about being objective. But this goes on to detail other members of the New York Times who have openly stated that their one social media guy, that they manipulate just about everything to fit this left-leaning anti-Trump narrative that they have in the public. And there are three videos out. You can find the article on HagmanReport.com. And I don't want to go through each video and through what each person said. You guys can watch the videos on your own. But as the article says, when you look at the three videos together and you see three different areas of where the New York Times is, you have an editor, a social media guy, and a YouTube person, that they have their ability to control not only the printed content, but the video content and social media content all to their preconceived bias of this anti-Trump agenda. And this is how they create content on the New York Times. It has nothing to do with truth and journalism. It has everything to do with having a political agenda and using their platform to promote their political agenda, regardless of what the facts are. We've seen
agents
so often.
Progressives. They're communist agents. We've seen the long march of communism through academia, and now obviously through our leadership, and of course through the media. And gaining control of the media is one of the planks for one of the communist planks, and that's been accomplished all but for perhaps one. And that's tenuous at best. Before the break, I just want to mention that, remember last week, Donald Trump refused to certify the Iran deal. Well, the United States is asking the UN, where's the outrage? Today, Iran violating several UN sanctions by the UN. There is no outrage within the UN. And of course, that's a direct assault on the United States. Oh my goodness. It just gets worse and worse. We're going to be back for some sanity with Pastor David Langford, the voice of evangelism. And he'll talk us down. We're right back. Stay right where you're at.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest-yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high-net-worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.